You cannot shoot down what you cannot catch. And right now, most of the world's air defenses cannot catch what is coming. I'm Tower. This is ATs on Radio Hangar, and today we are talking about a small contract with very large implications. The United Kingdom's Ministry of Defense has awarded Lockheed Martin UK a contract worth £20 million. That's about $27 million. The job is not to build a weapon, the job is to build a target. Here's what you need to know. You cannot learn to defeat a hypersonic threat until you have something hypersonic to practice against. The story this week isn't a new missile, it's the flying dartboard they're going to shoot at. Let me back up and set the table properly. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. So, hypersonic. You hear the word thrown around like it means anything faster than a fighter jet. It doesn't. Hypersonic has a specific meaning. It means Mach 5 and above, 5 times the speed of sound. Let me put that in numbers you can feel. At Mach 5, near the ground, you're covering roughly a mile every second and a half at altitude. Where the air is thin and the temperature is low, the actual speed climbs past 3,800 miles an hour. In the time it takes you to read back a clearance, a Mach 5 vehicle has traveled the length of a large city. Now, here is the part that matters. And the headline doesn't tell the whole story. Speed alone is not the problem. We have had things going faster than Mach 5 for a long time. A ballistic missile warhead coming down from space is screaming along at Mach 20 or more. We have known how to track those since the 1960s, because a ballistic warhead does exactly what its name says. It flies a ballistic arc, a big, predictable, high curve. You see where it launched? You run the math, you know where it's going. It's fast, but it's honest. The new generation of hypersonic weapons is not honest, and that's the whole ballgame. There are two flavors here, and I want you to understand the difference, because every headline you read for the next 10 years is going to blur them together. The first is the hypersonic glide vehicle. You boost it up high on a rocket, and then it comes back down and it glides, but it does not glide like a ballistic warhead falling on a fixed arc. It flies, it maneuvers, it can cross range, meaning it can steer hundreds of miles left or right of where you'd expect. It skips along the upper atmosphere, staying low enough that the curve of the Earth hides it from ground radar until late, and it changes course the whole way down. The second flavor is the hypersonic cruise missile. That one uses an air-breathing engine called a scramjet, a supersonic combustion ramjet, and it stays powered the entire flight. It flies low and flat and fast, like a cruise missile that drank rocket fuel. Either way, the defender's problem is the same, and it is brutal. You have a target that is faster than anything you've defended against, that flies lower than a ballistic threat, that maneuvers so you can't predict its path, and that gives you seconds, not minutes, to decide. This affects you if you have ever tried to intercept anything, and I mean anything. The logic is the same logic a controller uses vectoring traffic to put an interceptor on a target. You don't aim where the target is, you aim where the target is going to be. That's lead pursuit. It's the same geometry as a mid-air collision, which is exactly what an intercept is when it works. You are deliberately arranging a collision at a point in the future. Now imagine the target can change where it's going to be faster than you can recompute the answer. That's the hypersonic problem in one sentence. So, how do you build a defense against that? You test endlessly. And to test, you need a representative threat you can launch on your schedule at your range, again and again, without starting a war. You need a target drone that flies like the real thing. That is Project Bowline. The reporting on this comes from AeroTime, and the shape of the program is straightforward, even if the engineering is anything but. Lockheed Martin UK gets the money to develop and deliver a Mach 5 capable aerial target, something that can fly the profile a real hypersonic threat would fly, so that British and Allied air defense systems, the radars, the sensors, the interceptors, the command and control that ties it all together, can be tested against a genuine high-speed maneuvering object instead of a computer simulation. Because here's the uncomfortable truth about simulations. They only know what you told them. A simulation of a hypersonic target contains your assumptions about how a hypersonic target behaves. If your assumptions are wrong, your simulation confirms your mistake at very high resolution. A real vehicle in real air, shedding real heat, throwing a real radar and infrared signature, tumbling through real turbulence at the edge of the atmosphere, does not care about your assumptions. It shows you what actually happens. And what actually happens at Mach 5 is genuinely strange. Let me talk about the physics for a minute, because this is the part I find fascinating, and it's the part pilots almost never hear. At Mach 5, air stops behaving like air. The shock wave in front of the vehicle compresses the atmosphere so violently that the temperature spikes into the thousands of degrees. We are talking hot enough to make the air itself glow. Hot enough that the molecules of nitrogen and oxygen start to break apart and ionize. The vehicle isn't flying through air anymore. It's flying through a thin, superheated, electrically charged plasma of its own making. That plasma is why re-entering spacecraft go through a communications blackout. The charged sheath around the vehicle blocks radio waves. So one of the quiet, hard problems of hypersonic flight is simply talking to the thing. How do you send commands to, or get data from, a vehicle wrapped in a cocoon of electrified fire? A target drone has to solve that too, or it's just an expensive streak of light you can't control. Then there's heat. Not the shock wave out front, but the heat soaking into the skin. At these speeds, the leading edges, the nose, the wing edges, if it has them, are trying to melt. Ordinary aluminum, the metal your airplane is made of, would be a puddle. Even titanium struggles. Hypersonic vehicles need exotic materials. Carbon composites that can take the burn. Specialized ceramics. Cooling schemes that bleed heat away before the structure fails. Every one of those is expensive, and every one of them is part of why a Mach 5 target, a thing you are literally building to be shot down, still costs real money to produce. And here's a detail that ties this whole thing back to something we actually talked about, in spirit, on this show before. Control at hypersonic speed is its own dark art. The control surfaces, whatever fins or flaps steer the vehicle, are sitting in that superheated plasma flow. They have to move the vehicle without burning off, and the aerodynamics up there behave nothing like they do at the speeds you and I fly. A tiny deflection produces enormous force. Get it slightly wrong and the vehicle doesn't wobble. It disintegrates. So when the Ministry of Defense pays Lockheed Martin UK £20 million for a target, understand what they're actually buying. They are buying a vehicle that has solved at least well enough to fly the mission. The heat problem, the plasma communications problem, the exotic materials problem, and the hypersonic control problem. All of that in something designed to be expendable. When your throwaway target requires solving most of the hard problems of the weapon itself, you start to understand why hypersonics have taken decades and billions to mature. Let me connect this to the bigger board, because Britain is not doing this in a vacuum. The reason every serious military is pouring money into both hypersonic weapons and hypersonic defense at the same time is a strategic shift. For 70 years, the deal was roughly, this ballistic missiles were fast but predictable, so you could at least attempt to defend against them, and cruise missiles were maneuverable, but slow enough to track and engage. Hypersonic weapons break that deal, they are fast and maneuverable at the same time. They collapse the defender's timeline and scramble the defender's math. Several nations have fielded or are close to fielding these weapons. That's the offense. And when the offense arrives, the defense has to answer, or the balance tips. Project Bowline is Britain's way of building the practice range for that answer. You don't develop an interceptor and a sensor network and a fire control system by launching them at nothing. You develop them by launching them at a target that fights back with speed and unpredictability. Now, I want to be careful and flag opinion as opinion, because that's the deal I make with you on this show. Here is fact. The contract exists, the value is about £20 million, the goal is a Mach 5 aerial target, and the prime contractor is Lockheed Martin UK. Here's my read, and it is a read, not a fact. Programs like this tell you where a nation thinks the threat is going, sometimes years before the threat is public. You spend money on targets when you're serious about the intercept problem behind them? A target program is a tell. It says, we expect to face this, and we intend to be able to stop it. Read the target contracts, and you can often see the shape of the war the planners are worried about, before anyone says it out loud. So what does any of this mean for you? The person flying a Cessna 172 on a Saturday? Or working the line? Or sitting right seat in a regional jet? Fair question. Directly, almost nothing. This is a military test program on military ranges. It is not going to change your weather briefing. But indirectly, hypersonics matter to civil aviation in a way that's worth keeping on your radar, because the technology has a way of coming down the ladder. Every serious advance in flying at extreme speed teaches us something about materials, about heat management, about propulsion, about flight control in regimes we barely understand. Some of that eventually finds its way toward the long, slow dream of practical high-speed civil flight. Not tomorrow, not this decade. But the scramjet research and the thermal materials work being funded on the defense side today is part of the same body of knowledge that any future high-speed passenger vehicle would have to draw on. The public money chases the weapon. The knowledge eventually leaks everywhere. There's also a nearer-term thread, and it's the one I'd actually keep an eye on. As more of these vehicles get flight tested, expect more temporary flight restrictions and more special use airspace activity around the ranges where the testing happens. That's the point where a story like this stops being abstract and starts showing up in your pre-flight. When a nation is regularly launching Mach 5 targets and interceptors, the airspace around those ranges gets hot and it gets restricted, and it is on you to check the notices to air missions, the TFRs, the active status of a military operations area. That is the mundane, unglamorous, absolutely essential place where the hypersonic arms race touches the ordinary pilot. Not with a bang, with a line on a chart you'd better not bust. Let me bring it home. The headline says Britain built a target. But what Britain really did was admit, in the honest language of a budget line, that the threat is real enough to spend serious money preparing to stop it. A 20 million pound target is a small number in defense terms. What it represents is not small at all. It's the opening move in learning to hit something that moves a mile a second and refuses to fly straight. You cannot shoot down what you cannot catch. Project Bowline is Britain teaching itself to catch it. My thanks to AeroTime for the reporting that anchored this one. If you want to dig into the details yourself, you'll find the reference and more over at radiohanger.com. That's the picture from up here. Keep your eyes outside, keep your charts current, and remember that even a mile a second still has to fly the geometry. Tower, signing off.